Nowadays, we get news instantly. If, just like within our ISKCON, if some prominent member of the movement passes away, then all over the world the news goes immediately. But formerly, you just might not know. Still today, people go missing and you don't know whether they're alive or dead. There are two devotees I know who just, no one's seen them for years, and probably they're dead, but we don't know. They're both young men, but they're just not there anymore. So, is this, is Pritha still living? You don't, you see, so close relationship. I don't know whether they're alive or dead. So many people, especially women, their husband goes missing in fighting a war and presumed dead, but they don't know, actually. That presumed dead was the cause of the misunderstanding between Vali and Sugriva.
Předpokládaná smrt byla tím prvkem toho nesouhlasu mezi Valim a Sugrivou.
Know who I'm talking about? I guess you know, right? That's the advantage of being raised as a Hindu. Who killed Vali? Ramachandra Bhagavan Kijai. And Sugriva, what was his relation to Vali? Yeah, younger brother. So there was some misunderstanding. Vali was misunderstood as dead by Sugriva. He was fighting inside a cave with a demon. Sugriva closed the cave so the demon couldn't get out, but actually it was Vali who had killed the demon. And so Vali thought that Sugriva had wanted to kill him, whereas that wasn't actually the case. And it was a misunderstanding that led to enmity between the brothers. Here the Pritha and her sons, the Pandavas, are being referred to. Pritha means Kunti.
I know. It's difficult to
Translate it.
No, Pritha is about indifferent...
How to modify it.
Yeah, modify it. It would be like Prithye. Prithye.
Because it's a long ah.
Yeah, Pritha, and you want to say towards Pritha. Okay,
yeah, all right. That's
grammatical.
Yeah, there's some term for that, which I can't remember. The brotherly feud between the Pandavas and the Kauravas was not caused by a misunderstanding. It's caused by pig-headedness on the part of Duryodhana. Just a demoniac attitude. Actually, not, Vali, Rama killed him, but Vali, he was not demoniac by nature. But he... Actually, he was devotional because he admitted that to be killed by Ram was his great fortune. Ultimately, he admitted that. After first of all blaming Ram, that why are you killing me in this way? Later, when Ram explained and gave all the reasons, then Vali said, yes, actually, I'm very fortunate to be killed by you. And Marichi, he also had the same attitude, but he was a demon. When Ravana came and said, hey, Marichi, you got to help me kidnap Sita. So, yeah, okay. Maricha. So, Maricha said that, well, if I don't agree with what you say, I'll get killed by you. And if I do what you say, I'll get killed by Ram. So better be killed by Ram than by a wretch like you. Wretch means a wretch. Like so. So even Maricha, who was actually he was a demon, but he could understand that better to be killed by Ram than to be killed by Ravana. But Duryodhana, his attitude was quite different. It's just outright demoniac. Just like there are some people in Tamil Nadu who they say, actually Ravana was very good and Ram was very bad. Karna was good and Krishna and the Pandavas were bad. This is the kind of propaganda they like to make. Duryodhana was the epitome of Asuram Bhavam Ashrita, complete out and out demon. No good sense, no good reasoning would convince him that he should not do what he was doing. He could have lived very peacefully and happily, sharing the kingdom with the Pandavas. Actually, if he'd been really pious, he would have let Yudhishthira rule the kingdom, the whole kingdom. Just like Krishna was happy to take the role of a subordinate prince under Yudhishthira, as Krishna is the Dwarakadhish, the ruler of Dwaraka. But Duryodhana was so pig-headed that he refused to give even as much land as you could push a pin into to the Pandavas. So what can you do with such people? Some people, they just have to be suppressed, that's all. They can't be reasoned with at all. There's an idea, it's very prominent in Sweden and Norway, that no one's bad, and so they don't really have prisons. They have what they call reformatory homes in which they treat people nicely, with the idea if you're nice to them, they'll be nice to you. So they just can't, it doesn't fit with their whole way of thinking or reasoning that this guy, what's his name, Breivik, what he did, it just, they can't accommodate it within their worldview. It's the theory of this liberal policy that we just be nice to everyone. Well, it sounds very good in theory. Just be nice to everyone and we'll all be nice. And then gradually the Muslims fill up the Europe, and they have they're given facility, but they have a different outlook, that we want to take over and dominate and bring Shariat law, and but because of the liberal policy, they can't stop them coming in. They can't even deny them facility to promote what they're doing. Similarly, communism in theory seems to be very good. So you just share everything between everyone and everyone's happy. Everyone's all the same. But all these theories, although they seem very good, they suffer from a lack of consonance with reality. It's based on the theory that basically people are good, and that if we're good, then everyone else will be good, and everything will be nice and good, and we'll all be happy and have sense gratification like pigs as much as we like. And jai. And the thing that goes wrong with it is you get, you know, all comrades are equal, but then you get some comrade Stalin who's, not such a nice guy. And he treats everyone equally. He treats everyone like, dirt. I mean, if we were speaking colloquial English, we'd say something a little more vulgar, but he treats everyone like dirt. Everyone's equally entitled to a bullet in the head.
Takže už je vlastně prostě
So things without Krishna don't work. Srila Prabhupada told Satsarupa Maharaj to write a book called Things Without Krishna Don't Work. And even within our Krishna conscious movement, we can have so many theories and plans, but without Krishna, it doesn't work. Srila Prabhupada's system of management, it wasn't very complicated. Prabhupada said the main thing in management is to make sure everyone rises early, chants 16 rounds, and follows the principles, and that was Prabhupada's management system. Very simple. He said that the GBC should meet for 3 days in Mayapur, once a year, and that's enough. And the rest, they just go on. We are finding things are more complex. Life is very complex. I mean, this we hear Kunti Devi, she was, you know, young princess. She had no idea of the difficult life she had ahead of her when she was a young princess. After Durvasa had given her the benediction that she can call any demigod, out of curiosity, she saw the sun shining in the sky. She called the sun god, just out of some curiosity. And the result was Karna. And Karna, he became such a problem for her other sons. Practically Duryodhana, he couldn't have been so bold if it were not for Karna. He really relied on Karna. And Kunti was in the position of, she was known as the mother of the Pandavas, but she had secret affection also for Karna. So what a dilemma she faced all her life, what an inner turmoil that she could not share with anyone. Difficult life. Despite having such a husband, such children, and such difficulties. Despite having firm faith and love for Krishna, who was personally present. It was a time of intense political turmoil. It was like the introduction for Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, it's just like a social unrest and discontent is just normal. That people cannot live secure lives. It's unusual nowadays that people just stay in one place throughout their life. I mean, they're always moving from one place to another, to another, to another. I mean, for sannyasis that's expected, but not for others. And they don't have permanent friends, they don't have permanent means of income. They're just always in anxiety. And anything can happen any time. Bad things can happen at any time. I mean, the Czech areas had it fairly good recently. I mean, since the Russian invasion, there hasn't been any like intense turmoil. But a little further, I mean, I'm not saying the life under the Russians was like being in heaven, but at least there was social stability. But just a little further south in the Balkan area, I mean, people were just killing each other mercilessly. The history of the Ukraine under Stalin, I mean, he just killed literally millions of people. And there was just nothing the people could do. They starved or killed or just because he had some political policy. So some demon gets into political position and just makes life completely hell for everyone. And of course we don't have demons exactly like Duryodhana nowadays. But in various ways the scientists, they're messing up the whole world with their spoiling, I mean, the whole climate and everything, the air is polluted, the water is polluted, the food is polluted. This European community agricultural policies just killing the means of income of the small farmer. Just people who we don't at least Duryodhana, everyone knew who he was. We don't even know who these people are. They make certain decisions which just make life miserable for everyone. So it's a time of great instability, and with instability comes anxiety. But Kunti, she maintained her sanity, her hope, by her faith in Krishna. So you may think in our ISKCON also, it's a very idealistic society, very noble aims. But we may think, well, the devotees are chanting Hare Krishna, so it's very difficult to understand why there's, you know, there's, well, you can fill in the rest of the sentence yourself. But you see that Kunti, she was a great devotee. Krishna was personally present, and still there was so much chaos in the world. Why didn't Krishna just step in and just finish off the whole thing? And why did he allow such a situation to develop? Well, in the end it was seen that Krishna had a plan. That wasn't obvious before the plan became executed. Ultimately, the party of Duryodhana was destroyed. But prior to that, Kunti and the Pandavas had to undergo so much tribulation. But they didn't change. They remained fixed in their devotion to Krishna. They didn't think, okay, well, let's join Duryodhana. Or let's become like Duryodhana. If you can't beat him, join him. Yudhishthira, he remained noble and pure and fixed in Krishna consciousness and in doing the right thing. And ultimately, Krishna delivered him. Yeah, ultimately Krishna. Yatra Yogeshvara Krishna, Yatra Partha Dhanadharaha, Tatra Shriya Vijayo Bhuti Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. This was ultimately to be, this is ultimately seen. It's very interesting, that verse, which is the last verse of Bhagavad Gita, I hope you all know, in which, who spoke that verse? I have interactive Bhagavad Gita class here to wake everyone up. Sanjay. Who is Sanjay? Dhritarashtra's secretary. So Bhagavad Gita means that which is sung by Krishna, by Bhagavan. The first verse is spoken by Dhritarashtra, and the last verse is spoken by Sanjay. So the first verse of Bhagavad Gita is, anyone? Not you. Anyone else? Say it. Dhritarashtra Uvacha, and then the verse. Dharma Kshetre Kuru Kshetre Samavetaya Yutsavaha. Okay, we kind of got it. Group effort. Mamakaf Pandavas Chaiva Kimakurvata Sanjaya. Okay, what's the translation? Give us the translation in Czech. I'll take it for granted that you know it. So, the answer is given in the last verse. Of course, we shouldn't skip over all the philosophy in between. But the answer is, forget it, Dhritarashtra. Krishna's there, Arjuna's there. You're finished. Your sons are all smashed. There must be victory for Krishna and Arjuna. And as they happen to be lined up against Duryodhana, that means there must be defeat for Duryodhana. Now, Sanjay said that, but that was before the battle. Looking back, we can say, yes, the Pandavas won the battle. But before the battle, he said with great confidence, yes, Arjuna will be victorious. So, it's easy to make predictions, to make predictions after the event happens. Just like this Nostradamus, no one can understand anything about what he says. But after something happens, you say, oh, you see, Nostradamus said this and it means that, and you see, he predicted it. What's that prediction you're saying? 2012? Yeah. The end of the world. Yeah. He said it in, as far as I can remember, they've been saying it in 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, and it's always just now coming. Last year, there was some specific date given. It was all over the internet that Jesus is coming on May the 12th or something like that. I can't remember the date, whatever it was. Jesus is coming and we'll all have the great satisfaction of seeing all the Hare Krishnas and all others burning, being thrown into hell forever. Anyone thinks the world's going to end in December 2012? Well, just give us all your money. You won't need it anyway. And we'll print books so that you can get some, people of the world can get some sense instead of all this nonsense. Yeah, the world will end, but there's a long time to go yet. In fact, it is ending at every moment. There are different, that's described in the Bhagavatam, there are different kinds of destruction. And one of them is called nitya. It means it's always, destruction is always going on. Every moment that goes past, then whatever was in the past no longer exists. Not in a Buddhistic sense, if you know what I'm talking about, which you probably don't. But even according to modern science, you see, or anyone can understand that the situation which was there a moment ago is no longer there. Then, but on the cosmic scale, there's this destruction of the universe. There are time-to-time destructions, just like at the end of each day of Brahma, most of the universe is destroyed. But the ultimate one for each jiva, the kind of destruction that we should look for is the destruction of our material existence and go back to Godhead. So what do we learn from this chaotic situation that Kunti spent most of her life in chaos? That especially in Kali Yuga, chaos is a chaotic situation is normal. In one sense, it's more typical of the material world because the apparent stability and niceness, if we get such a situation, that is misleading. If we're in a situation where everything is nice, people are nice, and we tend to become complacent. Have a word? You must have a similar word.
Yeah.
So Kunti, she made this unusual prayer. That no, you have to be really bold to pray as she prayed. Vipada santu ta shashvat tatra tatra jagat guru bhavata darshanam yahi apuna bhava darshanam. May we have danger again and again, because when there's danger, then we're always calling for you, Krishna. And if we're always calling for you, we'll always see you. Then we won't see repeated birth and death. Bhavato darshanam yat syat apuna bhava darshanam. Unusual prayer. All the time throughout her life she was praying to Krishna. Krishna, we have this terrible danger. Please deliver us. And then Krishna delivered her. Then again another terrible danger. Krishna, please deliver us. Then Krishna delivered her. Then when all the danger is over, she prays to Krishna. Krishna, please give us some danger. All her life she'd been praying to Krishna, please deliver us from danger. Then there was no danger. She prayed, please give us some danger. So we can understand that or a devotee sees that everything that happens is Krishna's arrangement, so we can take shelter of him more and more and more. That requires great faith in Krishna. And it requires being fully fixed in the consciousness that I am meant for Krishna's pleasure. I am not independent of Krishna. So we all go on, as we all go on with our difficult lives. Life is difficult.
If you want to teach,
it's a great struggle in the modern world. So let us remember Kunti Devi. This kind of feminism we like. Think of Kunti Devi. Yeah, we should say to all the brahmacharis, you should always think of women all the time. Radha, Sita, Kunti Devi. If you remember them all the time, you'll be a perfect brahmachari.
Radha, Sita, Kunti.
So, any questions? You can call this class Brahmachari should always think of women. think of a catchy title, and then people might want to listen to it. And then people say, "Oh, so I'm actually a Brahmachari, and I'm doing that anyway." So, some specific women, those who have, okay, so. Yeah, any question?
Ramanuj, why she's praying at the end that then we will not see birth and death anymore?
Yeah. Apuna bhava darshanam. We shall.
What is the mood?
The Pandavas were praying to Krishna to see them through their life, their lives. To help them in the, they were taking shelter of Krishna for their material situation. Of course, their material situation was completely surrendered to Krishna. They were acting in this world for Krishna's pleasure. So Kunti prays, "We will, by seeing you, we will not see repeated birth and death." So, everyone should think like that. And when one thinks like that, then he can start to think of that jibane morane gati arnahimo radha krishna pranamo. When one has become freed of the material desires by which one is incarcerated in birth and death, then one can think of taking birth again and again to serve Krishna. Or just as Krishna desires. Yes. The devotee should be, he should aspire to be free of the consciousness which causes birth and death. And this is, this we have to preach to people. Don't suffer in this material world. Come to Krishna. We can't expect people to go immediately from the consciousness of being totally self-absorbed into that of the great pure devotees who are prepared to take birth again and again to serve Krishna. So material miseries are, they're an impetus to become free from the consciousness which causes us to take birth again and again, the lack of Krishna consciousness. So it is a suitable prayer. Kunti is praying that by seeing you, we will not see repeated birth and death. And the full expression of that consciousness is to pray that even if I have to take birth, let it be, as again Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that kita janma hao jatha tuadas. If I have to be born, let it be even as a as an insect, if I can be your devotee. Kita janma hao jatha tuadas. Let me be born even as an insect, if I can be your servant. So when Kunti prays for no longer having repeated birth and death, it's not like some impersonalist praying for liberation. It's easy for us to pray, let me be born again and again. But if we get a heavy dose of suffering, then we may not pray like that. And just some simple toothache, and you know, no one prays, let me have a toothache again and again. It's very painful. It can be very painful, but. Anything else?
Guru Maharaj, you said that without Krishna, things will not work. So, for example, we can see in the life of Vrajavasis when Krishna steps into their life.
In the life of the Vrajavasis, yeah, when Krishna came, so many problems came.
And for example, when we want to preach Krishna consciousness as it is, it seems that it is.
And if we want to preach Krishna consciousness straightforwardly, it's very hard.
And it seems that if you make compromise with worldly society, that if things will work much more easily.
If we,
so what does it mean that things are working, and what does it mean?
If we compromise with worldly society, things seem to work much better. So, what does it mean that things without Krishna don't work?
What does it mean that things are working and things are not working? Takže otázka jenom byla, že Maharaj říkal, že bez Krishny věci nebudou fungovat a můžeme jít na životě, když vás jít, že když Krishna vstoupil do života, tak začal spoustu problémů. A ku příkladu, když my chceme kázat Krishna vědomí takové, jaké je, tak je to velice problematické, nacházíme spoustu překážek, ale zdá se, že kdybychom udělali kompromis s dnešní společností, tak by to možná šlo mnohem let.
Tak co je?
Tak co to teda znamená, že věci fungují a věci nefungují?
Well, of course, Krishna came to this world to destroy demons like Kamsa. And Kamsa sent so many demons to Vrindavan, so that the residents of Vrindavan, they got to see the end of Aga, Baka, Putana, and all these remarkably powerful demons. But actually, literally, in Vrindavan, without Krishna, nothing worked. I mean, everyone just became stunned and lifeless and everything. So. But that example I was given, like communism or modern liberalism, they seem like very good ideas, but they don't. The whole society is horrible. In the case of communism, horribly repressive, and in the case of modern liberalism, contradictory and very degraded. But in the rule of Rama and Yudhishthira, then because they were fully God conscious, then the whole society went on very well. So that's the understanding. And in the Krishna conscious movement also, it so much depends on the leader. If the leader in a local area or in a higher level, if they're very Krishna conscious, then that will be transmitted to others, and if they're not, then if they don't have Krishna consciousness to give, then they won't be able to give it. And things in our Krishna consciousness movement also, rules and regulations are required, but it's not simply by laws that the movement will run on. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.